Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome into Stacking the Box podcast with Matt Verderam and Sterling Holmes. I am Sterling Holmes. Verderam, how are you doing?
I'm good. We were talking right before this about our pending trip. You're in Kansas City. My pending trip to Kansas City here in the second week of December. And now I'm thinking about, like, we were talking about the best places to go eat barbecue, which obviously it's Kansas City. There's a million options. Now I'm thinking at some point I might have, like, so I'm going to be out there Friday night and I'll be there all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I might have to just on Saturday just take a tour, like a tasting tour, where I just go to every one of these places. And that's all I do. That's it. I don't care about setting up for the show Sunday. I don't care about any other obligation I may have. Like, I just start at like 10 a.m. and I just work my way through each place until I've either passed out or I've eaten myself into a food coma. But I think that might have to be the way it goes.
Dude, the meat sweats will be strong with you.
These things happen. It wouldn't be the first time. What is the place? Is it Joe's? Feels like it's in a gas station.
Well, yeah, the original Joe's was in a gas station. Yeah.
Cause that's one. Okay. So I've been there. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that place is amazing. I've been to Joe's. I've been to Jack Stack. I've been to Q39. I have been to Arthur Bryant's. I've been to Gates. So I've been to pretty much all of them. The big name ones.
Sure.
But I might have to just do a whole tour. There's like that dish at Olive Garden, the famous one. Like, you know, I get like when my grandparents would take us as kids, like the tour of Italy. Might just have to take like a tour of Kansas City, but this one's actually going to require me to get up from the table.
Yeah, before the show, Verderam and I got heated. He was talking about his favorite spot he's had so far, and I was about to throw hands. I actually had to walk away for a second. I had to take a little time before he came back on the show, but let's get into it. The Bills fell to the Minnesota Vikings. Yep. By the way, one of the few games I've gotten right, I think, all season long, me picking the Vikings. I told you, I'm riding with iced-out Kirk Cousins. But how concerned are you when it comes to the Buffalo Bills?
Concerned enough that I think they need to make some changes. Like, look, I'm writing a whole feature on this week. I don't know if it's a feature, but it's a qualifier. I'm writing a piece on them this week about the fact that they cannot continue to play this way, relying on Allen to the extent that they are. And I wrote about that actually in my Stack the Box column on Monday as well, but I'm going to go deeper this week. Like, I went back yesterday and I looked at every single quarterback in their Super Bowl winning seasons. How many guys have gone even over the 70% threshold in terms of yard share? So, like, you take a total yardage for the team. How much is the quarterback responsible for passing and rushing? There aren't that many guys that are over 70%. Now, most of them in this day and age are. Most of them are like low 70s. Josh Allen right now is at 84.1%. There's been one guy in the history of the league that's won a Super Bowl at over 80%. And I will tell you this right now. And I don't mind spoiling this. Maybe this will entice them to read it. The guy who is over 80%, it floored me. Like, I was absolutely, like, I had to, like, pick myself up off the ground. And I said, Eli Manning. Eli Manning was at 80.3% for the Giants in 2011. He was their entire offense, and somehow they won the Super Bowl with him doing that. I have no idea how they did it. Nobody else has ever been over 80% and won the Super Bowl. By the way, shout out Kansas City. Mahomes right now is at like 82%. So might want to diversify the offense a little bit. The one difference I would point out, though, is Buffalo's offense, they ask Allen also to run the ball a ton as well. Mahomes will run when he scrambles, but they don't design runs for Mahomes. A lot of the reason Mahomes is 82% because they throw the ball constantly. Now, I still think it's a problem, but with the Bills, you're asking Allen to do everything. Run the ball, pass the ball. Like, Allen is the leading rusher on the Bills. No quarterback in NFL history has ever gone to a conference championship game and been the leading rusher of his team. You're asking him to just be historic in so many ways for them. And I think it's starting to manifest itself in him pressing and him making mistakes.
That's the only concerning nature of the Bills, though. They still look like one of the best teams in the NFL.
Sure.
It took a Herculean collapse. I mean, a safety would have been better in that situation than happened in that situation. Like, it was just, it was wild. I'm worried about the Bills just for the reasons you mentioned. Josh Allen is that entire team, but Josh Allen's so incredible. I would also say I'm a little worried that his elbow, like, they're doing all of this and he has a bum elbow. Dude, it's like Tommy John surgery. He's like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and just throw a 65-yard bomb. I mean, that has to be at least a little concerning.
I would say what's more concerning right now, and yeah, it'll get better, I think. They're beat up on defense, and the result has been they are getting just absolutely killed on the ground. I mean, teams are just running the ball down their throat. Packers did it. Jets did it. The Vikings did it. The other thing I will point out, too, is they have now, the last 2 weeks, they've blown pretty big leads in both these games. 14-3, I believe it was, against the Jets. 27-10 with under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter at home against Minnesota. You can't close the game out. Like, that to me is concerning. I still believe they are a top team in the NFL. They can win the Super Bowl, all that stuff. I'm not jumping off that bandwagon. But I think at some point you do have to be realistic. If Allen has a day where he's just good, they have a major problem. Like, they can't win if he's not great. They need him to be otherworldly every week. And if he's not that, they lose. And I think at some point, like, you've got to be able to run the ball with your running backs. You've got to be able to survive an injury or two up front. Like, look, everybody's going to say, well, their secondary's been hurt. Okay. Their front seven, did they all pass away? Like, can anybody make a tackle? I mean, they had Edmonds and Milano this week. Now, Edmonds left the game early. I understand that, and that's when everything went to hell. If your entire defense is, if Edmonds isn't on the field, you're giving up 200 yards rushing, it's a problem. I mean, come on now. Like, you got to tackle somebody. I think Buffalo's still very, very good. But I do think that, you know, early in the year, we looked at him like, man, Allen's been unbelievable. And he has been. He's also now leading the league in interceptions. He's thrown 6 picks in the last 10 quarters. 4 of them have been in the red zone. Like, at some point, that is coming home to roost. They get the Browns and the Lions the next 2 weeks. They should win those games. And then they have a tough stretch. Then they're at New England. They've got to play Miami at home. They've got to play Cincinnati on the road. They got to play New England at home in the rematch. Like, it's not going to be easy. But these next 2 games should help them kind of stabilize a little bit.
Well, where do they fit in the AFC hierarchy? You know, they've beaten Kansas City. They lost to Miami. Miami's sitting there now at 7-3. Tennessee somehow keeps finding ways to get victories. They sit at 6-3. The Ravens 6-3.
Yep.
Where do the Bills fit in the AFC hierarchy?
You could argue a bunch of places. Because it's ironic. They're, oddly enough, they're third in their own division right now, which is insane. But I always base on, like, if they played on a neutral field, who do I think is better? Look, I picked the Bills at the start of the year to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to back off that. I still think when the Bills are right, it's them in Kansas City. I still feel that way. But I got to be honest. Right now, on a neutral field, I think Kansas City would beat them. I know a month ago the Chiefs lost them. I get it. A month is a long time in the NFL. if the Chiefs played them right now in a neutral field, I'll even go a step further. I think the Chiefs played them in Buffalo, they beat them. I think the Chiefs beat them anyway they played them right now. Now, the Bills, you know, I want to see them get healthy on defense. You know, that's part of this. But I right now, I'd put them second in the AFC. And I think you can make an argument for third. Like in power rankings, I'd probably even put them third in the AFC because I think you got to give Miami their props. But if you said to me in a playoff game, would I take Buffalo or Miami? I would take Buffalo.
I think I'm on the exact same page as you. A month's a long time in the NFL.
It is.
I mean, the Chiefs have figured out a lot of things in a month, it looks like, and the Bills have figured out they have problems in 1 month's time. Again, with power rankings, I'd put Miami second behind Kansas City. But again, if they were actually to play, I'm putting money in the Bills. I would not put money in on Miami if they're to play head-to-head, even right now. But I do think Miami needs to get a little more props because it feels like they keep getting put down and down and down. What's it going to take for them to finally get their due when it comes to what the record shows? And, I mean, again, their victory over the Buffalo Bills already.
It's weird because like they've beaten Buffalo. They've beaten Baltimore. I think people have a hard time believing in Tua. I really do. I think that's the main thing. And you know, I get it because I have Dolphins fans in my mentions all the time. I go on a weekly show in Miami, so I've gotten some attention from them. I think there's just like, why isn't Tua getting more respect? I think it's like, well, his stats are tremendous. When you watch the games, he's good. Like, he's not – you don't watch Dolphins games and go, man, Tua is just absolutely dealing today. You don't feel that way. Like, a lot of times, he's good. Like, he'll throw the ball, it gets there, it's fine. But he doesn't look like Mahomes or Allen at his best or Herbert at his best. He doesn't. That being said, they have not lost a game that Tua has played the entire game. They've not lost. They're 7-0 in those games. And that includes Baltimore and Buffalo. Like, you have to give the man his props. And the one argument I'm not here for are these people who are like, well, you know, it's only because of Tyreek. Yo, Tyreek's on the fucking team. Like, I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, all right, so that's part of it. I mean, that's why they went out and got Tyreek Hill. I hate when people argue that. Like, oh, well, you know, if he didn't have Tyreek Hill, okay, yeah, but he does. So that's part of this whole deal. Now, I will say this about Miami. This is actually the bigger reason I have a hesitancy with Miami. I think the offense is unbelievable. I think the offense is one of the best offenses in the game today. Their defense scares the hell out of me. That defense is liable to give up 50 points in any given game. Like, if they played the Chiefs in a playoff game, I honest to Christ, I don't think they'd force a punt. I really don't. That is the concern I have. But I think offensively, they're as good as anybody.
Tua's like a slightly more souped-up version of Jimmy G, a left-handed version of Jimmy G, where the 49ers, they go to the Super Bowl, and you're like, yeah, but we know he's not the guy. You know he's not the guy making the engine run. I think Tua's better than Jimmy G, but I think it's a fair comparison where it's like, as long as he almost stays out of the way, as long as he's average to above average, the offense will roll. That's the way it was with the Niners. It kind of feels similar with the Miami Dolphins.
I feel like that's an interesting comparison. I kind of feel like he's Derek Carr. Like, we're like, if you surrounded Derek Carr with a really good team, like, you could win significant games with him. But I don't feel like you're ever going to be like, man, like, here comes Derek Carr. You know, like, it's just kind of like, I think, and actually, I was just about to say this. Mighty's dropping this in there in the chat. Mighty's Fangs, who's here every week. Thanks, man. He says, Miami is a top three offense, but you can't deny they've benefited from playing some of the worst defenses in football in the past month. And, like, there is truth in that. They've played a lot of crap bag teams, man, in recent weeks. Like, they've played the Browns. They've played the Bears. You can't stop them. Detroit is the worst defense in the NFL. Like, you do have a lot of those games in there, you know, where, like when they played Buffalo, their offense wasn't good in that game. And when they played New England, they weren't good offensively. And when they played the Bengals, now the Bengals game was weird because Tua got hurt halfway through it. And so, you know, factor that in. But they weren't even great when he was in the game. The Baltimore game was bizarre. They were bullshit for three quarters and then went berserk. Look, my honest feeling on Miami is Miami's a dangerous team. Like, I don't know that you want to face them in a playoff game. At the same point, do I think Kansas City or Buffalo would beat them in a playoff game? Yeah, I do. So, to answer this whole circle of a question, I would put Buffalo behind Kansas City right now. I will say this. Buffalo's put themselves in a bad spot in one regard. The Chiefs are now the one seed in the AFC. The Chiefs have their upcoming three games at the Chargers, home to the Rams, at the Bengals. Now, the Rams are a disaster, and now they don't have Cooper Kupp. The Chiefs should win that game going away. Those are the two road games. That is probably the season in a lot of ways. If they win those two games, they have nobody the last 5 weeks. Houston, the Raiders, Denver twice. Seattle at home is the only game you'd even look at and say, yeah, maybe. If Buffalo gives up the one seed to Kansas City, that's a problem. Because now the Chiefs are home and they have a week off, and the Bills are probably going to have to play Baltimore in the second round if they get there, and that's a tough game. That is the one that I think the Bills need home field advantage more than the Chiefs do. If the Bills don't get it, I think it hurts.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The last undefeated team fell last night. Finally, a good Monday Night Football game, by the way. I didn't have to drink six shots of Rumplements to get through that bad boy.
Sure.
But the Washington Commanders came out on top, beating the Eagles. Eagles had a plethora of mistakes late. They fall to 8-1, tied with Minnesota for the best record in the NFL. Where do they fit in? Are they still the best team in the NFC? Are they top three in the NFL? Where do they fit in here?
I appreciate WIP94 out in Philadelphia, the main radio station out there, if people are unaware, tweeting out a poll today, should they fire the defensive coordinator? And over 40% of the people saying yes. Love it. Love Philadelphia is just a disaster.
They fired Peterson a year and a half after winning a Super Bowl.
They lose one game, and people are just like, that's it. It's over. Okay. I will tell you what is over, though, in my opinion. The Hurts MVP train is over. That I will say is over. Because, listen, he's having a great year, but if they didn't go undefeated, to me, he's not winning MVP. So I think that's one thing that is over. Philly, to me, is still the best team in the NFC. It's one game. They're what, 8-1? I'm going to jump off the ship now? They're terrible? I mean, it's a divisional game. They didn't play well. They had a bunch of turnovers. I will say this. I think that San Francisco would be a very daunting matchup for them because of all the talent on that team. I think Dallas could beat them. But I think Philly's the best team. I still think Philadelphia's going to get the number one seed. So I'm not going nuts about that loss. I still think the top three team, top team in the NFL or NFC rather. Yeah. My opinion of Philadelphia did not change last night.
Yeah, Washington has had an incredible game plan, and it actually worked. How often do you actually just pick up 4 yards every time you run the ball? It just felt like you get 4 yards. 4 yards, 3rd and 2, let's run it again. And it worked.
Well, Brian Robinson last night was running like a man possessed. I mean, God, he was great.
I mean, he was some of the strength he showed on the short yardage situations, that touchdown plunge was incredible.
He reminds me of Eddie George, watching him run. Physical, big physical. Here it comes, downhill, that whole type of thing. But yeah, my like, if your opinion is that easily swayed off of one loss, then like you really didn't have an opinion, or your opinion is not worth listening to. Like if the Chiefs lose on Sunday to the Chargers, like my entire opinion of the team is not garbage now. Like, I mean, you know, it's the same way with the Bills. The Bills lost two in a row. They're not playing particularly well right now. I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFL. Like, I do think over time, you know, your losses and your wins can obviously change your predicament. You know, it can change your seating. It can change all that kind of thing. That maybe makes my opinion shift a little bit because it might make your road easier or tougher. But my opinion of the Eagles does not change. And in this case, it doesn't change at all because they're still the number one seed. Like, I'm more concerned with Buffalo before we move on because I really think for the Bills, having home field is huge for them. They have not had a home field advantage in the AFC playoffs since 93, which, by the way, was when they went to their last Super Bowl. I think that matters for them more. Not that they couldn't go to Arrowhead and win. They should have won there last year. But in the AFC, with as deep as that field is going to be, you are now going to have to play an extra game. Like, you're going to, like, you know, the seventh seed might be like the Chargers, you know, or the Bengals. Like, that's a real game. But that's not like, you're not, like, the NFC, who cares? You're going to play some team you're going to kill anyway. In the AFC, it matters. So, in any event, I think the Eagles are just fine. I think the Bills will be fine, but their seeding thing is an actual concern.
Yeah, with the Eagles, I think they're fine. I mean, it took a blatant, uncalled face mask on a fumble that Washington recovered. Yeah. It called a deep bomb that was caught, and then was it Quez Watkins got up, tried to run, and then fumbles. I mean, it was just a plethora of disastrous plays in a row for the Eagles. They made mistakes. They still could have came away with a victory, and they could not. And let's move on to Into the Future number one. We touched on it briefly, but is Patrick Mahomes the clear MVP front runner? You said this game basically sunk Jalen Hurts.
I think it did. I mean, I think for Hurts, I really felt like he had to go undefeated because his numbers are not going to stack up otherwise. Doesn't mean he's not having a great year, but he's just not having that year. Yeah, to me, the answer to this question is yes. Mahomes right now, I don't even know that it's reasonably close. I mean, who the hell is even second right now? Hurts losing really hurts him, no pun intended. Allen has thrown 10 picks now, and they are 6-3. They have a worse record. That's nice that they beat the Chiefs, but that doesn't matter if you have a worse record. That means nothing to me. Mahomes is leading the league in passing yardage. He is on pace to break the single-season passing yardage record. He might do it in 16 games. He's probably not going to throw 50 touchdowns, but he's close. He's at 25, and he is leading. I don't think anybody else is more than 20, if memory serves. So he's leading by a mile in that category. I think he's second in QBR. He's right toward the top at yards per attempt. The Chiefs are the best record in the AFC. I think most people feel they're the best team in football right now. Like, yeah, what is the hole in the argument? He lost Tyreek Hill, and he's better. So, I would say that right now, yes. I think easily. I think if they voted today, it'd be the unanimous MVP.
Before this slate of games this week, I had Hurts over Mahomes just slightly. I think the undefeated aspect made it very difficult to go against Jalen Hurts.
Sure.
He actually had more yards per attempt and a higher completion percentage than Mahomes going into this previous game. That, to me, really stood out for a guy who you knock his arm because he's so talented with his legs. I go, he's doing everything. But this loss, and he's not had that marquee game where he was behind. If Jalen Hurts comes back in this game and they win, well, I think he's for sure still the front runner in my eyes.
Fair enough.
But he's not had that game where you look back and he goes, I put the team on my back to get a victory. We've seen it with Mahomes how many times now? At least twice this season where you're like, if they don't have Mahomes in the fourth quarter, they lose this game. Well, we've not seen that from Hurts. So for me, it goes – Mahomes one, maybe Hurts two. Tua might be up there.
I actually have Tua two. I do. I have Tua two. I really do. And we obviously talked about it before. Look, Tua's completed 71% of his passes, 9.1 yards an attempt, 18 touchdowns and 3 picks. And he missed 2.5 games. Like,
does that hurt him though?
To me it does. It does hurt him. Because right now, as great as he's been, he's 700 yards behind Mahomes. Like, that matters. I'm sorry. It matters. You know, it matters that, you know, he's got 18 touchdown passes, which is terrific. believe he's third in the league, but Mahomes is 25. Also, Tua is about to go on the bye week. So those numbers are only going to – that's only going to get a bigger gulf, right? You're only going to have a bigger gap now. Mahomes probably 1,000 yards ahead of him. Yeah, that stuff matters. And also, too, like Mahomes is just having – it's just an obscene year. Like, I – he's at 2,936 yards. He's averaging 8 yards an attempt, which, by the way, 8 yards an attempt, that is if you take out anybody who, you know, just played like a couple snaps, that's fourth in the NFL. The only guys better are Tua and Hurts, Garoppolo at 8.1, and Mahomes, right? But then you get into like Mahomes is 25 touchdowns to 7 picks. His QBR, Garoppolo's QBR is 48.2 on a scale of 1 to 100. Mahomes is 78.6. Like Mahomes is throwing for 326 yards a game. Yeah, it's just, yeah, and Tua, by the way, if you want to go by that, like 283, which is great, but it's not 326.
Well, that game does take into account the one he got hurt in.
I understand that.
So that's going to lower that a good amount. Just playing both sides here.
No, it's true. Although I would also argue there have been two games Mahomes has been taken out in the fourth quarter because they've just been absolutely killing their playing, right? So it's like, but fair enough. I would my ballot right now would be Mahomes, Tua, and Hurts. 1, 2, and 3.
Let's get into the future. Number 2, do you believe the Raiders and Broncos both have new head coaches next season?
First of all, I'm going to say no. I think the Broncos will have a new head coach. I don't think the Raiders will. But can we just stop and appreciate what a glorious disaster both those teams are? Like, as much as obviously everybody knows I'm a Chiefs fan, I try not to put on my fan hat here because I cover the league. I for 30 seconds, I have to. I grew up absolutely hating Denver as a kid because of John Elway. Now, you cover the league, you got to check all that stuff at the door. Fair enough. But as a kid, I hated them. The Raiders, I was taught to hate as a kid because they're the main rival of the Chiefs and so on and so forth. But again, cover the league, you do a professional job, you check that stuff. Okay. Those two teams, the kid in me has just enjoyed this thing thoroughly. All right. Now, take off the fan hat, put on the analyst hat. I don't think the Raiders are going to move on from McDaniels. Just talking to people around the league, and you see other similar stuff from other people as well. Like, it seems as though Mark Davis is pretty entrenched with keeping McDaniels. Can that change? Of course it can change. If they go 4-13, that might change. Right now, they are what, 2-7? They are a mess. I don't personally, like, I don't understand how Davis could look at that and go, yeah, it's all right, it's good, we're good. But he just literally yesterday said he thinks he's doing a fantastic job. The Broncos, I don't think there's any way in hell you don't fire Hackett. I don't see that as a viable option, bringing him back. They are 3-6. They have the worst offense in the league. I saw a few different people in Denver tweet out that if they averaged 18 points a game this year, they'd be 8-1. Oof. And yet they're 3-6. So here's the problem. I don't know where the hell you go with this if you're Denver. Like, who is taking over that job that has options anywhere else? You're going to tell me that's an attractive job right now?
I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's as bad as you're making that decision. Oh, my God,
Wilson with that contract?
No, but that defense is so talented as is right now. If you can do a decent job offensively, that's better to me than when, like, Dan Campbell took over the Lions. I know you're building from scratch, right? You have a lot more cap space to work with. But at least here, you mentioned they'd be 8-1 averaging 18 points a game. Right. If you are a good offensive mind and you know what you're doing, that's not the worst job to take over. There's some talent on that team.
Do you think Russell Wilson is done? Like, honestly, do you think he's done?
Yes, I think he's now a, let's say, 15 to 20 quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Then I think that's a terrible job. Because you can only put so much lipstick on that pig of an offense, man. Like, at some point, the other part of it is too, and I think this is wildly overrated most of the time. People always are like, well, why would you go coach in the AFC West? You have to deal with Mahomes. Well, people don't think like that in the NFL. Like, they have confidence in themselves. I will say, though, I think with Wilson, because the contract is so long, I do believe you look at that and you have to factor that in. Like, can we win the division with this guy? I don't think you can. Like, I genuinely don't think you can. And the other thing I will say with that defense, look, I think that defense is good. I think there's a little fool's gold in it. When you play Denver the way they are offensively, you don't have to be aggressive against that defense. You can play field position. You can play clock. You can do. I think if Denver's offense was any better, like even decent, I think Denver's defense would be somewhat worse because teams would go after them more. If you're the Chiefs and you're playing them in a couple of weeks and you get to 20 points, you can just throttle it down and say, look, let's not make a mistake. Let's play clock. I think that stuff matters. So I think their defense is good. I don't think it's like dominant like the numbers would suggest it is because you don't have to play them that way.
Let's look into the future. Number three, will the Packers find a way to make the playoffs?
I don't think so. I know they beat Dallas, comeback win, all that stuff. I do not think they're going to make the playoffs because the 4-6, Washington's 5-5. The Giants are 7-2. Both those teams have already beaten the Packers. So the Packers not only have to get into a tie with them, they got to beat them out. I look at the NFC and say, okay, which one of these teams is the Packers going to beat out? The Buccaneers, let's put them aside because I think they're going to win the division. So you got six spots left. The Giants, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. I don't think they're beating any of those teams out. They got to beat out the Vikings in the North. That's not happening. You got to beat out San Francisco and Seattle in the West. That's probably your best shot. Is one of those teams, you pick them off. I don't like their odds. I think the Packers are pretty much going to have to win out. And I don't think the Packers are winning out. They've done too much damage to themselves. They still got to play Miami on the road. They got to play Philly on the road. They got to play Tennessee on Thursday night this week. I don't love it.
I think your best hope is that Seattle comes back down to earth.
I agree. I totally agree with you.
I think San Fran, there's too much talent on that team. As much as I don't necessarily buy into them long term, there's too much talent overall at all different spots. They've been in the playoffs a ton. I think that matters to an extent. Seattle, you're just hoping that Geno Smith just comes down. That's all you're hoping for because it's too little too late. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looked very good late in that game. They had a good game plan, actually. They ran the ball with Aaron Jones. Who would have thought using one of your best players, getting him involved to make a difference?
A stunning situation.
And then finally, Christian Watson didn't eat popcorn before the game. He could catch the ball, 3 touchdowns. But again, I think it's just a little bit too late for the Packers.
I agree.
Let's get into the future number 4. Has Justin Fields proven he's a franchise quarterback?
No, but I love the way he's trending. And he's really exciting. I can't get there that he's a franchise quarterback based on 6 games. And I don't care that they're 1-5 in those games because they stink. That has nothing to do with him. But I need to see him, like, he's throwing for less than 200 yards a game in that stretch. It's not because he hasn't been good. He's been pretty efficient. They just don't have weapons. I can't get there through 6 games. And I'm somebody who all offseason, anytime I talked about him, said, look, I think he can be really good. I really do. I really feel like I can honestly say I've been on that train all year. Like, I really have felt like he's got a lot of talent. I can't, like, to me, though, like, we're always in this world, like, we love to just, like, jump into immediately. Like, the guy's great. That's it. Like, let's just give it time. I want to see how things shake. But I love the way he's trending. And I think that if you gave him the requisite talent around him, he could be great. So I love the way he's trending. I don't want to just declaratively say yes, absolutely. But I think he's on his way.
Does it feel a little bit Lamar Jackson-esque? Where if you put him in the right system,
yes,
where you allow him, you have to build the team around his play style, right? Like, you have to make sure that he's the focal point. Run first offense. I think he can be the franchise quarterback. I was not super high on him coming out of college. Ohio State quarterbacks always give me a little bit of cause to pause. But he's been really impressive. I mean, he truly has. They're using him to his strengths now. The victories will come. That team's not great. We know this. But if they had the Ravens have a good offensive line. You give him time in the pocket. Allows him to survey the field. If he needs to take off, he can take off. He's dangerous in open field. I'm not saying he is a franchise quarterback, but I think you can win with him in the same way you can win with Lamar Jackson. Although I do think Lamar Jackson has a better arm. I will say that. I think Lamar Jackson has a better arm than Justin Fields personally.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. I think that's all fair. I'm with you there. I think that it'll be interesting to see with Fields how he progresses, but I love the way he's played the last 6 weeks. And I think if the Bears give him some real talent, they could do some damage. All right, let's bring in somebody who's over the moon about Justin Fields, and that is BetSided's Ben Heisler. Heisler, what is going on this snowy Tuesday?
Yeah, very snowy day in the world of Kansas City. If you guys see me just like dart off in the distance, it's because I've made in the queue for the Taylor Swift concert at Arrowhead that I am purchasing for my wife. I've been in the queue and in the waiting room since like the last 2 hours.
Buying it for yourself.
I'll go. I mean, I'm not going to say no.
I'm going to twist my arm.
Right. Yeah. Oh man. Just, I can't believe I got to go to this. Listen, concerts at Arrowhead are fun. I'm not a big country music guy, but I've gone and seen Kenny Chesney.
You're not
there.
Calling Taylor Swift country. Come on.
No. I said I'm not a country music guy, but I've seen Kenny Chesney at Arrowhead.
That's fun.
And that was a hell of a show. So, like, those are fun experiences in the middle of the summer when the weather is nice. So I'll go see Taylor. It's actually kind of ironic because I've been sitting 2,000 people back in the queue for the last 2 hours. And I'm thinking, like, this is a perfect analogy for, like, leaving Arrowhead Stadium. Like, I haven't moved. It's been 2 hours, and I have no idea when I'm going to get the hell out of here.
I remember going there once to see a game. They played – it was actually Mahomes' first year. His first year as a starter, his MVP year. And then lost on Thursday Night Football to the Chargers in, like, a crazy game at the end. And we were sitting
– I remember that.
We were sitting there for hours trying to get out of the stadium, and some guy in a truck ran over a fence and just drove out of it. I'll never forget that. Just drove the fence, just knocked the fence right over. I was like, okay, fair enough. Followed the guy right up. But what lines do you like here in week? Or I guess what are the lines you're looking at first? And we can get into the lines you want to maybe throw a few bucks on. But what lines you're looking at for week 11?
Yeah, there. I actually thought that there's a lot of compelling matchups on the board this week. So I've listed my top three as we normally go through it. But I feel like before we do that, let's kind of go through a few that deserve honorable mention. Yeah. So you got the Browns and the Bills. Bills obviously coming off one of the most disastrous losses I can recall in the regular season, fumbling the football in their own end zone. Minnesota recovers, and just watching that disaster unfold was fascinating. But I think part of the reason that's going to be fun is you got 1 to 2 feet of snow that could be expected in Buffalo that game. And the Bills don't run the ball.
I know. But that is going to be very interesting to watch that place out.
Yes. I mean, they're still heavy favorites in that game. Last time I checked, Buffalo is still like a 9-point
favorite.
It's
8.5 on FanDuel.
Done 8.5. Okay. But even still, like, it almost sets up perfectly for the Browns because of how they like to play on offense. And the Bills obviously have had some issues in stopping the run as well.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think Bears and Falcons deserves honorable mention because you're going to see a ton of offense in that game because neither of these defenses have any sort of talent on the roster right now. Pretty much nothing. And you have Justin Fields who continues to set records week after week. The Falcons have everybody on that team that can run the football, and the Bears can't stop the run. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. Jets and Patriots, I didn't put in the top three even though the records would dictate so, just because Bill Belichick owns Zach Wilson's soul. Like, this isn't going to be a particularly fun matchup. And even if they make the adjustments, it's in New England. I don't think that bodes well for them. And then the last one that I think makes honorable mention this week, Bengals at Steelers. Again, Steelers, not a particularly good team, but they are a different team when TJ Watt returns. I'm on the Cincinnati side for that one, which I'll get into it a little bit. But Mike Tomlin, you guys, now is 17-3-3. Covering the spread as a home underdog since 2007. Like, that's insane to be able to be that good against the spread and only also be a home underdog 23 times in your entire head coaching career that expands all the way to 15 years ago. Another indication that even with the Steelers having a rough year, still in very good hands with Mike Tomlin in charge of the show.
And yet you're going against them.
And yet I'm going against them because I was on them the previous week. And New Orleans, very different team than Cincinnati coming off of a bye that appears to have figured some things out. But we'll get to that in a second. Yes. Would you all agree that the number one game of the week, whether it be betting, whether it be fan interest, has to be the Cowboys at the Vikings in the late window this upcoming Sunday?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Okay. So, fascinating matchup, I think, to the point where you've seen the line move closer to the Vikings from where it opened. It opened around the Cowboys -2, -2.5 on the road. It has since pretty much a pick 'em or Dallas -1 or -1.5. Yeah. If you're looking for the total in that game, that currently sits at 47.5 at almost every single book, which is big because I think it opened at 47. So you want to get past, that's one of the most key numbers on the board. Minnesota's, in particular, Kirk Cousins' stats at home are fantastic. And part of the reason that I faded him last week is because he's had a lot of struggles on the road. The Vikings have had, you know, improbable comebacks in a lot of those road games. And I still think you can make the argument that Cousins wasn't that good in the fourth quarter in the comeback. It was Justin Jefferson who was elite amongst elite. He bailed out Cousins multiple times, and I think 7 out of 9 catches from Jefferson last week were considered 50-50 or less, according to NFL Next Gen stats. Like, at some point, like, that warrants consideration, like, in the Offensive Player of the Year conversation for Justin Jefferson, and I think he might start to move up that list a little bit further as we go along. But I just think we're valuing Minnesota's efforts from last week too much into this week's spread. I don't think they're anywhere close to the same type of quality team as the Cowboys. And I think especially coming off of that loss, a bad loss to the Packers, like, that's a wake-up call for Dallas. And I think they go in knowing that they're the superior team to Minnesota. And I like Dallas to cover the short spread here. I have them on the money line on the road this week.
Yep, I'm with you. I agree. You know what? Here's the cold hard truth about Minnesota in that game against Buffalo. They needed an absolute full-blown miracle to win that game. They were down 17 points with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, and then Cook goes off on the left side. Like, look, give him credit. It's a nice, it's a great run. But my God, like, Buffalo lets him run 81 yards, like, untouched. And then, you know, they get down to the red zone, and for reasons I'll never understand. By the way, I'm going to completely hijack this for 10 seconds. Sean McDermott, for the love of God, take the points sometimes. Like, 4th and 2, 10 minutes left, you're up 10 points at the 7. And the Bills are like, nope, got to go for it. Like, kick the field goal. Oh, my God. Like, by the way, if they do that, they win the game in regulation, okay? Then they turn it over. The Vikings go down. Justin Jefferson makes one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in your life, okay? They get down there, but Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. And so they can't get in the end zone on a million shots at it. And then the Bills fumble in their own end zone. I think the Cowboys are the better team. I know Minnesota's 8-1. I know they beat Buffalo. I get it. I never watch the Vikings and walk away impressed, ever. Like, I walk away thinking they're good. I don't think they're a bad team. But I don't walk away ever thinking, like, they're a Super Bowl-level team. It's always like, they're good. They're a good team. I think Dallas is a slightly better team, and they're coming off a loss. I will take Dallas as well.
What time is this game at?
This is a late afternoon game, so it is a 3:25 local start.
It's not 7:20. Wait, no, it's not 7:20, though. It's not 7:20. Give me the Vikings. Give me iced out Kirk Cousins, baby. I rolled them last week. I had the money line Vikings over the Bills. I put only $5 down. I'm soft. I didn't have that big of stones. I'm going money line again with the Vikings. They've not let me down. Kirk Cousins has been good. He's been good. Yes, the red zone struggles. I get it. I understand. And you can say it's Justin Jefferson, but guess what? He's on that team, Verderam. You talked about Tyreek Hill. Yeah, he's on the Dolphins. Justin Jefferson is on the Vikings. He makes plays.
He does.
You think Trayvon Diggs is not going to get cooked by Justin Jefferson?
He probably will. I'm not arguing that point. It's just so funny. I My buddy who covers the – well, now he's actually national. Congrats to him. But Arif Hassan, who worked covering the Vikings for many years at The Athletic and who still has some local interest with them, he was tweeting about, like, if the Vikings are 15-2, like, the fear that will be involved with that fan base. And I tweeted back at him. I'm like, I absolutely get it. Like, if that team's 15-2, 14-3, that the white knuckling every week in the playoffs with that team – because you're waiting for that piano to drop, right? So they're fascinating. I'll give them that. And like, hell, you know what, man? How could you not root for the Vikings? Like, what do you have against them? But it's
they're so fun. They're hotter than the inside of a Hot Pocket right now. I mean, come on.
Let's calm down.
Yeah, and most people watching and betting on the Vikings each week get the same effects from eating a Hot Pocket.
They're physically ill for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Right? By the way, Sterling, you brought up an interesting point, which is Kirk Cousins not playing in primetime. And you'd be correct. In primetime games, he's 10-18 over the course of his career. Numbers actually aren't terrible. Like 50 touchdowns, 26 interceptions, has a quarterback rating of just under 94. And he actually has good numbers in late afternoon games as well. It doesn't compare to early games where he's 51-31-1. He's got a touchdown interception ratio of 157. But in late afternoon games, Sterling, he's 7-14 over his career with the lowest average yards per attempt, lowest average yards per game, 32 touchdowns to 14 interceptions, which is very good.
Hey, get ready to be 8-14, baby. Get ready for it.
I like it.
He's due. Right.
Well, what else we got?
So that's number one on my list. Number two, despite not seeing any good Thursday night games for what feels like forever, you have to put the Titans and the Packers on this list, right?
Yeah.
Titans continue to they're sort of in a similar vein as Minnesota, except they're just far less entertaining. Like they're the team that is winning games that you just don't expect them to win because they don't seem to be making mistakes that they probably should be making. And their defense has taken a terrific turn. Like this was a team I remember having a conversation with you guys thinking that with their inability to pass rush with some of the issues in their secondary. Yeah. I thought this was going to be a team that got cooked consistently week in and week out. They've made a lot of adjustments. Bud Dupree's been playing much better as of late. I give Tennessee a lot of credit here. I just don't know if after the Packers finally got something finally clicked. And that was the connection between Rodgers and Christian Watson. I don't know if that's going to be the number one connection the rest of the year, but what I do know is that it at least opens up more passing lanes for them. Before it was, you were hoping it might be Alan Lazard. You were hoping it might be Robert Tonyan. Romeo Doubs was out this week. All of a sudden now, if you have a viable option in Christian Watson, who is a big mismatch down the middle of the field with his size and his athleticism and his speed, that opens up everything for Green Bay. And I don't think they're the cream of that division by any means anymore. But I think I like them a little bit more than their current number in this game, which is, I think, 2.5. I will take Green Bay to cover, especially if I can get it at 2.5 here, especially with how trends have been leaning in these Thursday night games towards the home team and towards the under. The Titans can't score consistently right now. They've scored just enough to win. But I think the Packers are going to run all over them, and I think play action is going to open up a lot this week. I think Green Bay wins this one easily.
I would also take the Packers, although you said something. I'll just leave it at that. I'm with you. I think the Packers won the game. You said something about the Titans being like the Vikings. It made me think, like, if those two teams met in the Super Bowl, would everyone watch it with their mouths open for like 3.5 hours? Like, just floored at what they were watching? That would be one of the all-time moments in sports history, right? Like Tannehill just rifling a pick in a coverage, but then Cousins coming back and just firing a ball into the ground on like 3rd and 3 with Jefferson wide open. I think the Packers will win. Look, they have a little bit of momentum now. The Titans offense is just an offense that can't score. And I just believe that when they play quality quarterbacks, it's a problem. Also, short week. They're missing a lot of guys on defense last week. Simmons was out. Cunningham on IR. Like, you just wonder, like, will Simmons play this week? Or are they going to say, look, it's an NFC game. It's not that big of a deal. You know, they're going to win the division. They're going to be a four seed. Like, do they just rest guys who are maybe so-so? I think the Packers win by, you know, a touchdown, maybe even 10 points.
The Packers will win if they decide to use Aaron Jones. They used him last week, and look what happened. I don't understand this dilemma of, like, should we use one of our best players, maybe the best receiver as well as running back on the team? When they do, they win. When they don't, they lose. We'll see early on, because they really did a good job of using Aaron Jones early, and that did set up play action for Christian Watson late. I mean, that was a massive storyline. If you look at the numbers for Aaron Rodgers, they weren't great. They all came late in the game when they needed to have it. I'll go with the Packers, but I'm still at least a little bit worried that they try to rely too much on Rodgers early and then they get behind. You can't use Aaron Jones at that point.
That's fair. I do think to a certain extent, like, are we making the same mistake that we are in the same realm of the talking about the Vikings and the Cowboys? Are we looking at the Packers win and their comeback win as a jumping off point into what they really are, when the reality was they were down by two scores, came back in the fourth quarter against a really good Cowboys defense that fell on their face for really one of the only times this year? I just think the short turnaround, remaining at home, Tennessee having to go from home to on the road in a short week. Derrick Henry's not going to have as much rest as he needs to be successful. Although you can run on Green Bay. So Henry should be fine. But again, that's not having him to have a full week of rest, I think, really hurts them in this situation.
By the way.
So I think that's a nice little break for Green Bay here.
Quickly, just on a complete side note, but it's coming out during the podcast. Cooper Kupp needs surgery, and he is going on IR. So he has a high ankle sprain that is bad enough it is requiring surgery. So he will be out the next four games. The Rams continue to have the season from hell.
Do they have their first-round draft pick next year?
No, they do not.
Who has it?
Detroit.
Ooh.
Yikes.
The Rams pick might be higher than the Lions pick.
Yeah.
Like, we're really getting out there. Yeah, because right – by the way, that actually –
1-2, baby.
So really – yeah. Really actually quickly, because it's really interesting. So if you look right now at the draft order as we're sitting here. So of the top nine picks in the draft, if it were right now, four of them have already been traded. So as you sit, Houston has the number one pick in the draft. The Raiders have the number two pick in the draft. Carolina's third. New Orleans would be fourth, but that pick is owned by Philly. Philadelphia has the best record in football, and they have the fourth overall pick. It's unbelievable. Then you have Jacksonville, Chicago. Then Denver would have seven, but that's Seattle's pick. The Rams would have eight, but that's now Detroit's pick. And Cleveland would have nine. It's Houston's pick. So Houston has 1 and 9. Philadelphia's got four. Seattle's sitting there with, let's see, it's 7 and 22, and the Lions have 8 and 11.
Let me shout out Chris Albright really quickly in the chat, because he asked who our top three GMs were. Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, my goodness, that guy.
That's a good question.
Did you guys see the sign that he yelled at that fan for? Awesome. Was it a week or two ago? Yes. He said, like, Howie, we forgive you for taking Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. He got mad because he's like, I won you a ring, you ungrateful bastard.
Howie Roseman is awesome. Yeah, he's right in there. I'd have to think about it. The top three, I don't know. I mean, Veach has got to be up there. I mean, he's up there. You know, Brandon Bean in Buffalo is right up there. DaCosta, Baltimore. Yep. I mean, they're all right in that mix. They're all really good. They're great GMs.
Plenty of good GMs. Still plenty of terrible.
Oh, GMs. Way more than not. Yes. Yes. All right. What is the third game here? I don't want to get too off topic.
Third one is the Sunday night game. I think we all have a general indication of how it's likely to go, but I still think we put it on here because these games have been competitive over the last several years. The Chiefs and the Chargers in LA. I don't know when the Chargers are going to have their moment of introspection where they let Herbert throw the ball downfield. It looked like initially first half of Sunday night was going to be that moment. And then he threw for 35 yards in the entire second half. Now, that's a good San Francisco defense, but they've also shown this year that they can be exploited. Take Kansas City as a case in point, that you can find ways to take advantage of the 49ers defense. And the Chargers initially looked like they were got there still without their top two receivers. No idea as to whether or not Mike Williams or Keenan Allen will be back. That obviously helps change the dynamic.
They will practice.
And you still have Austin Eckler there. What's that?
They are going to practice this week. It's unclear if they're going to.
Okay. So that also might be part of the reason why they're kind of hovering around a touchdown underdog at home this week. It's anywhere between 6.5 and 7. I have not placed a bet on this game yet. I'm leaning Kansas City if I can get it at 6.5. The Chiefs barely covered against Jacksonville at 9.5. If you got them at 10, it was real darn close, but ultimately not good enough to cover, got the push. I just never know what Chargers team is going to show up, but at least I know with Kansas City, I know that they're going to make necessary plays. I just don't know if it's going to be enough to cover. So this kind of just feels like a stay away for me until I actually feel like I see the right number here and I know who's playing. If Allen and Williams are in this game, I probably will lean Chargers if I can still get it at 7. If they are out and it's still 6.5, I feel like Kansas City is going to be the right side, but I kind of feel like the number is where it's supposed to be. And that's part of the reason I don't want to touch it.
My first blush at this line was I would take the Chargers to cover it because it's a divisional game and the Chiefs are just, the Chiefs have a tendency to like sleepwalk through portions of games and then they just get white hot for like 20 minutes and then the game's over. Like that's kind of been their MO really since they won the Super Bowl. Like they've done that for years.
Right.
But they win. But that doesn't help you in gambling unless you're just taking money.
Correct.
Now, I thought about this game a little bit yesterday and this morning. I actually am going to take the Chiefs for one reason. They have certain games that they pick out, and they have done this for years, where they put their A game plan out there, and they're just like, look, we're going full tilt to win the game, whatever it takes. I think this is going to be one of those games. Because if they win this game, this division is over. And I think the division's over anyway, but I think it's going to be one of these things where the Chiefs know they win this game, it is over. The other thing is, Mahomes in primetime is about a mortal lock to win the game. Now, again, if you don't love – like one thing I would do in this game maybe even is tease the number down to where the Chiefs are a one-point favorite and then take the over on like at 44. Like just tease them both down and just go Chiefs essentially on a money line at that point and then over because Mahomes just doesn't lose in these primetime games ever. I think he's like 17-2 or something in his last 19 primetime games. Also, he has never – this and this stat still just blows my mind, but it is fact. He has never lost a road divisional game in his career. So if you're uncomfortable with the points, I might just tease it, get it down to one, take the Chiefs, and then just take the over, just tease the over down to the 44 and go from there.
Chiefs are basically at home anyways. It's at the Chargers.
Right, the other part of
basically it. Yeah. At home. If Mike Williams isn't there, that's the guy who traditionally kills Kansas City. So if Mike Williams is out, good luck, Herbert. The play of the Chiefs linebackers, the way they're growing together, I don't think Austin Eckler is going to all of a sudden dominate on the ground. Chiefs had 5 sacks last week. 5. If that continues, good luck, Justin Herbert, in your Drew Brees ribs. I don't trust the Chargers. I mean, I get your guys' points, especially with the points. It's a divisional game. Chargers traditionally do play Kansas City close. But all signs to me point towards a Chiefs blowout. Also, Kadarius Toney. Getting him more involved, what he's done over the past 2 weeks, he could explode in this game. Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously a name to look out for. If he's out, that's a big loss for the Chiefs.
So you were talking about Mahomes in primetime. I just pulled up the numbers. So in night games over the course of his career, he is 17-7 straight up. He is 13-10-1 against the spread. He has also gone 4-1, both straight up and against the spread, in his last 5 Sunday Night Football starts. The against the spread loss in Week 9 to Tennessee snapped that 4-game losing streak. By the way, since we're live on the show, I was taking a look at some live lines where you guys were discussing this across the league. And Verderam, I typically don't like to tease totals. I think especially if you see the Chiefs at 7, you want to bring it down to 1. I think that's an ideal spot to be. You can even do it at 6.5 and basically just they just have to win the game outright. Right. I think that's perfectly fine, although you always try to make your goal of a teaser to move it past both 7 and 3 as those key numbers. But I think it applies here. The total is at very different lines right now across multiple sportsbooks that are available, really all over the country. Several of them are which are in Kansas City. If you are looking to go over on this game right now, BetMGM has it at 49.5. If you're looking to go maybe under, DraftKings right now has it at 50.5, but those are the only books right now that don't have it at 50. So you're talking about a full point discrepancy between two of the bigger sports books in the country right now. So I might go ahead knowing that it's likely on the move towards the up and up. I might go to BetMGM right now after the show is over and drop something on that over, because with the way that this game is trending, especially kind of what you mentioned, the idea that they need to find an opportunity to put their foot on the gas pedal, know that this is an opportunity for them to be able to score some points. Mahomes right now on pace to break Peyton Manning's record from a handful of seasons ago. Yep. Yeah. Chargers aren't stopping anybody. So this leans over for me. And I feel like this might be an ideal time to grab that number perhaps before it goes all the way up to 51.
No, it's a good point. And to your point about him being 17 and 7 in primetime games in his career, he lost 4 of those games in his first year as a starter. So since then, he is just lights out. They don't lose those games. They really do not lose those games. Like that's to me, like I remember the game. Hell, I think we all do. Last year when they played the Chargers in LA on Sunday Night Football, or it was just Thursday night. It was Thursday night, and that was just an all-time classic game where they, you know, Mahomes just went nuts. And in the last 2 minutes in the overtime period, he threw for like 177 yards or something. Like that to me is the ultimate portion of why I would take the Chiefs, whether you tease them or not. And I think they even would cover the number. If I had to bet, I'd pick them to cover this. I just think this is going to be one of these games where the Chiefs are going to be like, look, we have to win this game. We win this game. We can start raising the banner. I also just think, really, especially if Allen and Williams don't play or they're banged up, the Chiefs can just guard them in man coverage and just say, you know what, here it comes. We're going to go after you all game. Why? The Chargers just aren't good. They're not bad, but they're very average, and they're not well coached. And I think the Chiefs will win, and I think they'll even potentially win by a couple scores.
I just made that bet.
There you go. There you go.
Locked.
Over 49.5. Let's jump on the board on the earlier side. Don't have to worry about any weather. Be gorgeous in LA. Track meet in this matchup. That'll be a lot of fun. By the way, as far as our best bets went from last week, another winning week. 3-2. We hit with the Bucks. We did not win with the under on the Vikings and the Bills. Thanks to Justin Jefferson for that. Really appreciate that. We split with our two Bears and Lions bet. The Bears money line bet did not hit. Thank you, Cairo Santos, for that. But we did hit on the over at 46.5. And then we also hit on Washington plus 10.5 on Monday Night Football against Philly. I got 5 plays on the board this week. You guys want to rapid fire through them really fast?
Sure.
Okay. First one on the board for Thursday night, I like the under between Tennessee and Green Bay, 42.5. Again, the Titans just don't score consistently enough. And even if Green Bay blows them out, unless there's a backdoor cover that comes all of a sudden, I just don't think there's going to be plenty of points scored on the Tennessee side. Packers at home, defense has played better at home. I think under 42.5 is a good place to be. I'll go under there. Houston, like them at plus 3 against Washington, coming off of a short week, coming off of arguably their biggest win of the season. Could certainly pull off the victory, but Houston, especially at home, has played teams much better against the spread. If anything, I might take Houston to cover or maybe even money line in the first half, because that's where they've been a far superior team this year as well. Davis Mills has thrown some bad interceptions in the second half. But I think overall they can cover that line at 3. Wouldn't be surprised if this line continues to move in their direction. Cincinnati, talked about them briefly. I like them to cover at Pittsburgh. We mentioned Mike Tomlin's number 17, 3-3 against the spread. But the Bengals, and I wrote about this for Verderam's Monday column over at Stack in the Box, the Bengals seem to have figured some stuff out, both in running the football, which the Steelers have had issues stopping this year, and also protecting Joe Burrow. If you can get him protected, that helps neutralize TJ Watt. And even though Watt is back and that made a substantial difference, Cincinnati, now that they have the ability, especially on defense, to close you out, and also to now run the ball, that changes the entire dynamic. It's also the largest point spread that's ever been listed for the Bengals at Pittsburgh since the Super Bowl era. So I like Cincinnati at -4.5. Like the under in the Cleveland and Buffalo game, got it at under 44 with the 2 feet of snow coming. And the other one that we mentioned, Dallas money line, -115 against the Vikings. So we got 5 picks on the board. Did any of those stand out to you either positively or negatively?
I have massive hesitancy with the Texans. Okay. They're garbage. That's my dynamite analysis. I cannot take them. Other than that, okay. I'm with you on the Bengals. I'm with you on the Vikings. We already talked about that. Packers with you. I love the pick of the Bills Browns under, because that game, that is like a nightmare from hell if you're the Bills. If you wake up and there's 20 inches of powder coming down and you can't throw the ball, and that game turns into who can run the ball better, Cleveland or Buffalo. That's a problem. That's a big problem. But I like all the bets except Houston scares the crap out of me.
Ooh, I don't like the Vikings Cowboys, but it feels like I'm outnumbered. So I'll defer to you since Ben's been way better than me. But that just, I want it to be known, at least if the Vikings win, I want it to be known I rolled with them. If the Vikings lose, let it know that I deferred. Okay, I'm trying to put myself in a win-win scenario.
I feel like we brought that up in today's show. You had mentioned that you were on the Vikings last week. We were on the Bills. We recognize game, Sterling.
I'm just going with the iced out Kirk, man. There's something about that team that's enjoyable to watch. They're fun to root for. I can't root for the Cowboys. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Give the Vikings some respect. They're 8-1.
They win again. They'll learn a little bit more, and then we'll watch them miss a kick or something in the first round, and that'll be the end of that.
That's nails.
I'm fascinated to see how that game goes. That game could go like 20 different directions. All right. We've kept Heisler too long. So it's past noon. It's past. He's got to get his Taylor Swift concert tickets, and then drag his wife to the concert. So, listen. Heisler, thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining us as always. Week 11 bets. Of course, check out all things at BetSided, fansided.com/BetSided. Check out the daily bet slip every day, and all of BetSided's great work, which you can also, of course, follow on YouTube at BetSided. You can follow it on Twitter at BetSided. Basically, just. Go check out BetSided. So, all right. Heisler, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Be good.
Care. All right. What's going on in your life?
Why is it so fucking cold?
Oh, I don't know.
Summer come back. I hate this. My skin gets dry. I'm a relatively skinny human being. I'm 5'10", 175, 170. Depends on how much Halloween candy I eat.
Yeah.
I'm not built for this, okay? I'm not built for the cold. Am I living in Siberia? It's dark at 5 p.m. I can't go golf. What am I supposed to do?
It's a shame. 175. I haven't seen 175 since I was like, I don't know, freshman in high school. Good for you.
I work out a decent amount. I try and stay in shape. If you listen to sports talk radio, a lot of... You sit on your ass a lot. I'm sitting on my ass a lot.
Listen, you're not going to say it because you're too nice of a person. I'll say it. This industry has a lot of people who could use more physical activity, okay? And perhaps somebody who can dress them. I've never seen a group of people who are more excited to run to a press box spread dressed like they're from 1996. Okay. I don't care. And for all of you, oh, that's not right, Bertram. Fuck that. Like, I also am in this fraternity of sports writers and reporters and all stuff. Hey, listen, it is what it is. There is not a group of people who are dressed worse in the world than sports writers. Nobody. Nobody. Okay? I don't care. I'll argue with that to the end of time. Now, that all being said, I think it's important to stay in shape. I also go to the gym probably 4 to 5 days a week. Some days it's cardio. Some days it's lifting weights. I am built differently than you. I don't know how you are. I'm the kind of person, I can lose weight easily, but I can gain weight really easily. Like, I can fluctuate very, very rapidly if I'm not careful. Like, I right now I'm like 6'2", 235, but I could easily be like anywhere between 220 and 250. I like to drop a hat. Like, it's easily. So that's the danger for me. I always have to be on top of it, or I am disgusting quickly.
I'm like Dexter McCluster out here. I'm like a Dexter McCluster size, I feel like.
Okay. Like, I'm built to play like tight end. And yeah. I also run like somebody who would play tight end.
We totally needed – I keep saying we need to get some folks together and do a combine.
Yeah. Austin says Verderam is not 6'2". Austin,
thank you, Austin. I believe you, Austin. Because every time I've done this with Verderam, I'm like, Verderam's like my size. And he's like, I'm 6'2", 235. Well, I've never seen you stand up.
You obviously have never met you in person.
Well, I get that, but
– What do you want me to do? Stand up against a growth chart in the office?
Yeah, come on. Like, let me get some height number. Give me a couple yardsticks out.
Well, I got to tell you, Austin, I've known me my whole life. I'm 6'2". I got no reason to lie about it. My whole family is pretty tall. The old man's 6'2". My grandparents are 6'2". Anyway, regardless, it's one of those deals where, like, if you're not careful, it's bad news. That being said, you know, right now the back's hurting a little bit. Today I've had like numbness in my damn fingers all day long. I think it's a pressed nerve. It could be killing me. I don't know. I'm hoping it's something with a nerve. That or I'm in a lot of trouble.
Do you smell toast?
I do not smell toast.
Okay, you're good. You're good.
All right. I will say you kind of let off with what I was going to say. So it is snowing here, and it's not like it's snowing hard, but like it's not really snowing hard because it melts when it hits the ground for the most part. So I sent my daughter to school today, like an adult would do, like a father would do. Okay. I sent her with, she's got a uniform she's got to wear. Don't even get me started. But on Tuesday she can wear like the school t-shirt and it's tie dye or whatever. So she wore the tie dye shirt. And I dressed her in leggings because that's what she typically wears. And then I gave her a Chiefs sweatshirt to put on. And I sent her out the door with a winter coat, mittens, and a hat. So the school sends out an email, like not just to me, like a school-wide email. Hey, winter's here. If your kid doesn't have winter boots on today and snow pants, they have to stand on the sidewalk and watch the other kids play. Let me tell you something. When I go pick her up today, it's going to be a bad day for that school. Okay? I'm going to ask her, like, did they make you watch these kids play? And she says yes, we're going to have a problem. I'm paying enough for that fucking school. There is a quarter inch of snow on the ground. What does she need to dress her in? Fucking Timberland, send her out there? I mean, my God. It's a quarter inch of snow. Maybe she's got to wear snow pants for this. What is going to happen? She's five. Like, it's unbelievable. Society is broken. It really is. Like when I was a kid, if my parents sent me to school in shorts on Christmas Eve, they would have been like, you know what, kid? Your problem. Go out there, do whatever the hell you want to do. Now, quarter inch of snow. Everybody's got to grind to a halt. It's a quarter inch of stuff. She fell in it. She couldn't drown. Like, what what are we doing? It's unbelievable. This is the same school that had the gall to tell us, hey, look, if she wants milk at lunch, it's $70. $70 for a year's worth of milk. I'm about to stand outside hawking gallons of milk to the kids. Hey, kids, $4 a gallon, I'll make 50 cents. And guess what? You're going to have milk for about a month. Buy it from me 4 more times, we're covered for the rest of the school year. It's unbelievable. You're charging me for tuition and all the other bullshit that goes along with this. It's preschool, by the way. She's not even in kindergarten. And what might I add, I would never have sent her to a paid-for preschool because I'm not that guy. But I had literally no choice because she aged out of daycare and there's no other school in the area that's a full day's worth of pre-K. So I had no option here. I was screwed over. I will leave it at this, and I mean this. If I go there today to pick her up and she says to me that they did not let her play, I'm going to have a very, very unpleasant conversation with someone at that school.
Verter, I'm getting some desks moving in there. Better watch out.
I'm pissed. Like, get the fuck out of here. She can't play in a quarter inch of snow. And I'll tell you, if I know my daughter, she also is going to have something to say about that. A quarter inch of snow. Oh, gotta put on your snow boots. I might send her, just to make a point, I might get her some skis and send her to school. And hey, here you go. Fuck your snow pants. She's wearing skis to recess.
Dog, get her those 1980s lime green, you know, skiing outfits. Get her some skis. Get her some goggles. Just show up. That'd be outstanding.
That's right. Here it is. She's just wearing ski boots to class now. That's it. Just in case we're concerned about if it's still another quarter inch, I don't know how the kids are going to get home. We can close on this. I swear to God, it's a true story. So when I was in high school, we never, like very rarely closed school. I shouldn't say never. We did close occasionally. It took a lot. And in my town, I grew up in the Catskill Mountains. So certainly a mountainous town, but we had one mountain in particular, Chandelier, which is significant. Very hard for a bus to traverse if there's a decent amount of snow on the ground. But because the teachers and the superintendent, I swear to God, it's just the reason I can't prove this, but they didn't want snow days because we had to stay a little bit extra in June. No, it's like you had to have like a good half foot or more. Otherwise, you're not getting out of school. So we have one day, I think I was like a freshman or a sophomore. It snows like nobody's business. Like it is coming down the morning of the school day. Not even a 2-hour delay. Like just we're going in. And I remember being incredulous. We're going to school. Like, it's like, look outside. Like, it's brutal, right? So we get to the school. We're there. We're there for 20 minutes. They're like, everybody's going home. Like, what? Okay. We go home. My buddy calls me. He's like, hey, man, do you hear what happened? I'm like, no. He's like, our bus went into a lake this morning. Like, what? He's like, yeah, you know that corner? You know, obviously, yeah, you don't live in town, you wouldn't know. I'm like, yeah, there's a sharp turn around this one lake. Yeah. He's like, yeah, man, lost control right into the lake. One kid's got a concussion, otherwise we're good. I'm like, what did you do? Well, you've been shitting your pants. He's like, it was shallow. I went out of the emergency exit out of the back and just walked home. he just left the bus and just walked up the hill. But after that, if there was a hint, if there was a rumor of snow, we canceled school because the lawsuits were coming. So that was it. But, you know, that was the way it was. Now a quarter inch of snow. And if the kid's not in like, you know, a full on snow globe outfit, nope, that's it. Can't play anymore. Unbelievable.
What we need to do, we determine the rules now. Let's make things harder again. Let's make things more difficult. I think we need to bring back bullying, but not necessarily of the kids, but of the teachers. We got to bully the teachers and whoever's telling your kid to do that. Be like, come on now.
You know what?
Verderam's team, bring back bullying.
I'm team common sense. We've lost common sense as a society. We really have. Like, we've really gotten to the point now where common sense has gone out the window because people are so scared of everything. Like, just let your lives play out. Like, be a person. It's okay. You know, it's like these people who like won't eat cookie dough because they're like, well, you know, I read somewhere that it's bad. If you won't eat cookie dough, you're a monster. You're a monster of a human being. You know, and if you don't let your kids eat cookie dough, prison. You deserve prison.
Straight
that.
To prison. Straight I mean, to jail.
You get these people who just live in their fears about everything. Like, oh God, you know, what if her legs are cold? She's in leggings. What, is she going to be outside for 10 minutes? I mean, like, she'd be all right. I promise you. She'd be okay. Like, it's no one's going to die.
Verderam's team give every kid before they go to school a cup of black coffee, a pack of smokes, and say, find your way.
I mean, listen, I remember, again, I said, now I'm getting a point. I'm 34 and I'm getting old, okay? We used to have across from the high school a place where the kids would go and smoke, and the teachers would smoke with them. Like, I swear to God, we had kids who would go across and they'd smoke, and the teachers would take lunch and they would just go outside and smoke right there with them. They would just like, nobody even thought about it. I never thought about it. We used to leave school all the time to go get lunch. Once you were 11 years old, you could leave school and go get lunch. Nobody ever thought about that. And if you want to go get pizza, you go get pizza. You want to go drink some Hennessy or some Jack Daniels behind a bush, you go do it. Now, I did not partake. Okay? Believe it or not, I was really straight-laced until I got into college. In college, the drinking, it was a little different. High school, didn't go near that. But I went over, got a slice of pizza, got a soda. It was fine. I don't get it. But we got to go. We got to go. We got to get the hell out of here. Listen. For Sterling Holmes, I am Matt Verderam. Thank you for joining us on Sack in the Box today. It has been wonderful. Enjoy your Tuesday, and we will see you again next week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.